The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Keep your money local. Bring it home to a Wintrust Community Bank, home of Cubs checking with free ATMs nationwide. Find out more at Wintrust.com/Cubs. Member FDIC.
Let's play two.
Back!
Way back! It might be! It could be! It is! Holy cow!
The fly, he scores! Cubs win! Cubs win! Yes.
Welcome to the Cubs Talk Podcast presented by Wintrust Community Bank. I'm Luke Stuckmeyer. Hope you're enjoying the 4th of July holiday. Today's podcast is about overcoming adversity and maybe, just maybe, an X factor for the Cubs bullpen sometime this season. We're focusing on Cubs AAA pitcher Danny Hultson, who I met a couple weeks ago in our trip down to Iowa. You won't find a more positive attitude in the game. He's unbelievable. He's trying to do the unthinkable, battling back from two major surgeries on his shoulder. Hultson was the number two overall pick in 2011. First pick that year, Gerrit Cole. Third pick that year, Trevor Bauer. So he's sandwiched between the two. The Mariners taking him out of Virginia. Francisco Lindor, Javi Baez, Anthony Rendon, George Springer, all in the top 11 picks of the draft that year. But those guys were all taken after Hultson. It's been a crazy ride for him. He's banged up. He's injured. He's trying to get back, but he's not quitting. And right now, he's not that far away. Here's my conversation with the left-handed reliever that could be a factor for the Cubs before this season is over.
The number one question is simple. How do you feel? How are things going?
Things are great. I'm very, very happy right now. My arm feels great. I'm in a good spot. I'm very, very happy to be pitching again on a professional mound. It's been a long time since I felt this good, and I'm very, very happy with it.
When was the last time you felt this good?
It's been years, man. It's been a long time. I think, I haven't really thought about that, but probably 2012. I've had two surgeries since then, and it's been a struggle to stay healthy throughout that time. And but as far as everything's going, I'm very, very happy with where I'm at, and hopefully it stays like that.
When the first surgery happens, how do you handle it?
It's tough. It's really, really hard. When doctors tell you that there's a chance that you don't play again, and especially the extent of the surgery that I had, tried to do as much research as I could and see what other pitchers have had that surgery and whether or not they came back from it. And the people that have had the surgery that I had is very small, and the people that have come back is basically zero. So those are not the most encouraging statistics, but I still always believe that there was always a chance that I could keep doing it, keep grinding, try to get back to it. And now I really don't want to look back in 20 years and say, like, I should have given it that one last opportunity, the last chance to really, really try and just stick with it while I could. And that's where we're at now.
So if the first surgery is tough and this massive hurdle or mountain, how do you, man, when you get the second one, that's just got to be like the massive gut punch, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And those people I just talked about, the doctors and the statistics of coming back from that, those are even lower after the second surgery. But in a lot of ways, I can learn a lot from that first surgery and say, like, this is what worked for me, this is what didn't. If I stick with this and just stick with it maybe a little bit longer, give it a little bit more time, then I can come back from it. But that second surgery was getting the news that I'd have to do it all over again. That was really, really hard. But I learned a lot from that first surgery about taking things slow and not trying to do too much and just trusting the process a little bit. Even more so than the first time, I think has boded well for me.
So do you think, looking back at it, and obviously physically it's a massive rehab both times, how much of it is also mental? Because there's got to be a mental.
95% of it is mental.
Really?
Yeah. They're, I think the vast, vast majority of it is mental, just because, you know, there's points when you're throwing, you know, you're trying your hardest and you can't lift 2 pounds, and you're throwing your hardest and the catcher can catch it with a bare hand, or just it seems like it's just floating in there, giving it all you got. I remember after the second surgery, I was lucky enough to go back to school and finish up my degree, and all the college coaches I had and all the trainers that I had were still there, which was awesome to be with them again. And I was lucky enough that they were nice enough to let me rehab with them. And our rehab coach back there is named Brian McGuire, BMAC, and he's a very good athlete. He's a wrestler, he's not a baseball player. And when he was out throwing me, when I was trying my hardest, I was like, damn, this could be a long road. But no disrespect to him, but that was a point where, you know, he was back spinning balls and getting to me in the air, and I was chucking it as hard as I could and not even getting it to him. But it's points like that where it's the mental grind that's really the really, really the difficult thing, because I truly believe if you just stick with it and give it enough time, I think you can come back from, no matter how low the odds are of you coming back, I think just giving it that extra time and just sticking through the hard mental grind of it, I think, is the most important part.
You'll hear the rest of my interview with Danny Hultson in just a second. His comeback attempt is really miraculous, and speaking of that, Miracle has come to Chicago. Miracle the Musical, inspired by the 2016 World Series champion Cubs. It's hailed as a must-see show by Hall of Famer Ryne Sandberg. Miracle's at the Royal George Theater right now. You can find tickets on Ticketmaster.com. I'm definitely going to check that out before it's gone. Now, here's the rest of my conversation with Cubs AAA reliever Danny Hultson, who's hoping miracles happen to those who work hard, don't give up, and always stay positive.
Man, you have an unbelievable attitude. Who gave you the mental fortitude or motivation or inspiration to be that way?
It's got to be my parents. I would not obviously not be here without them. And that was just something that they always grinded into me when I was younger. It's just, my dad always says, anything worth doing is worth doing well, or anything worth doing is worth overdoing. So I've always taken that into account when I go through something like this. And they've been so, so helpful with getting through those mental grinds of, me struggling, me not being happy with where I was at. But they've been great about keeping me in a positive mental state, which has been vital throughout this whole process.
Is it hard not to think about being there in the postseason, or being there at the end of the season and being a part of something special, or is that what drives you?
Yeah, that's
point?
The goal. That's the ultimate goal. I think everyone would be lying to you anyone in that clubhouse would be saying they were lying, or were lying to you if they didn't say they didn't think about it. But as far as it being, constantly thinking about it, you can't operate that way. You can't go out and compete that way. That would be a dream come true to be called up. And I know I'm doing everything I can to give myself the best chance to do that, and hopefully it comes true.
When did you start throwing mid-90s again? I mean, that's a medical miracle. When did you start throwing mid-90s?
God, I don't know, because last year was the first year back of really throwing and getting back on the mound. And I was 90, 92, and maybe touching 93 every once in a while. But, throwing this hard has been an unbelievable surprise. It's been great. I think just the fact that I'm further away from surgery and working on different mechanical things and being stronger and just being having a little bit different attitude about things, I think has boded well for me.
So was there a point where you thought, I've taken that next step, and I'm not just knocking on the door, like you're moving forward now?
Yeah, I mean, I'm feeling great. I'm feeling great with where I'm at. I try not to think too far ahead in the future. I'm always trying to think about what I can do now to give myself the best chance to get people out. I know that velocity is important, and I know the fact that I'm throwing this hard has been a good sign. But as far as me thinking too far ahead in the future, I'm still where I'm at.
But not only are you throwing hard, you're feeling good.
Yeah.
You're not having tons of pain afterwards, right?
Yeah, that's a strange feeling, honestly, for me. it's weird because, that's been the huge steps throughout this whole process. Is I would get back to throwing. I'd get back to throwing bullpens, or I'd get back to throwing BP, live BPs or pitching in games, and then afterwards it would be like, it's not doesn't feel too good right now. But that's been the biggest step for me. Certainly the velocity has been great, but the fact that I can pitch and then pick up a ball the next day and play catch and then be ready to pitch the next day, and the recovery of that, I think, is a huge, huge sign. So that's been great.
One more thing: is it fastball, curveball for you? What do you have in your arsenal that makes you effective, other than obviously velocity?
Sure. Yeah, and I throw fastball, changeup, slider, and slider kind of turns into a curveball at times. I'm working on trying to shorten it up a little bit, but I think just being where I went to college, we always stressed command over velocity, and I think when I'm most effective is when I'm hitting my spots. I've never really been a guy that's thrown this hard or relied on velocity, so I think my main focus is always trying to have the best command I can have. So that's been a huge thing for me. But I guess with this added velocity, that's hopefully improves a little bit even more.
Have you been to Wrigley? Do you know what Wrigley's like?
I have been. After my second surgery, I went back to school and finished up my degree, and I had the summers off and was out of baseball, but I was there for a bachelor party. We went to Chicago for my buddy's bachelor party, and we went to a Cubs game, and so I was actually there a couple of years ago, and I certainly wanted to play again. I didn't know that being with the Cubs was going to be an opportunity, but kind of cool that I was there a couple of years ago, and hopefully, it would be a dream come true if I could pitch there one day.
Really fun to get to meet Danny Hulton, and how can you not be rooting for that guy to complete an unbelievable comeback? Right now he is dealing with a groin injury. They don't think it's too serious, but he's definitely somebody to watch in the second half of the season. Tony Andracki is here from NBC Sports Chicago. Tony, what do you think? Danny Hulton, factor or not a factor before the season is over?
I mean, common sense tells you he's not a factor before the season's over. He's got such a long road ahead of him. You don't hear about too many 29-year-olds, former top prospects or whatever, really making it all, putting it all together, coming up and making an impact for a team that every out is going to matter whenever, he gets up, if he were available August or September. So you don't think that that's going to happen. But then again, the Cubs could use some left-handed relief help. They could probably use some relief help in general. So we're saying that right now, that may even be more of a case, if injury strikes. So it's definitely not out of the realm of possibility, probably unlikely. But, again, this guy was a top prospect and had that pedigree for a reason.
95, 96, he's got the heat. He's got the pitches. Like you said, he's not a kid anymore. He's been there. He's been through just about everything. So I don't think stage fright's going to get him at this point. Right. You wouldn't think that would bother him because he's been against much bigger things. I wonder if he gets called up in the September call-up, and then if he did well in that stretch, that then they would consider like, wow, we got to go with the hot hand. Maybe that's his shot to make this team.
Yeah, it definitely is. And I mean, moving forward too, you got – who knows what Mike Montgomery is going to be, if he even stays with this team beyond the July 31st trade deadline. But there's definitely a room. There's always room for left-handed relief pitchers or pitchers in general. And there's got to be room moving forward. I mean, you got Kyle Ryan, and then kind of a big question mark for that. Is Randy Rosario a piece the Cubs can turn to in the future? Tim Collins, they don't have a ton of left-handed relief help. So there's absolutely an avenue where you can see Danny Hulton making an impact on this club even beyond 2019.
Right. Even if it's not this year, they've taken their time with him and they've let him slowly progress, and he's gone from a long shot to maybe a medium shot now, and you see what happens in the future. I mean, he was a super nice guy. I can't believe he's still this positive considering he was the number two pick and he's, he was out of baseball. He was out of baseball, and he's back in it trying to get to the major league level and trying to help the Cubs if they get, to the postseason. He'd love to be there. Anybody else in the minor league system that you think could be a factor for the Cubs before the season's over?
Yeah, I mean, you know, right now, Robel Garcia is the guy that a lot of fans, he's been very popular with the fan base for a bit, but you kind of feel like more and more questions, more comments, especially if you go look on Twitter, type that guy's name in, you'll see a bunch of that.
He's the guy that played in Italy.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, and so, and he's a guy that, you know, he's 26 right now, and he's hitting the crap out of the ball down there. He's,
yeah.
You know, he's hitting the ball out of the ballpark, he's drawing walks, he is still striking out a bit, but that's a guy that you think, you know, may be able to make an impact in some level, maybe a utility type role, but it's also, he's an unknown commodity, so it's like, right now, I'm not advocating for, you know, he should not be getting at-bats or anything over like Addison Russell or Daniel Descalzo, but, I mean, those guys have kind of proven that they were in the big leagues for a reason. You know, I know they've fallen off tough times, Carlos Gonzalez as well, so it is tough with less than half a season to go if the Cubs are going to give a guy like Garcia a shot. But then again, maybe the lack of production at the big league level is something where they turn to the minors and they say, hey, why not give Garcia a shot? Because the other top hitters in Iowa are other guys we've already seen. Jim Meducci, Taylor Davis, Mark Zagunas. These are basically the top four hitters in the lineup down there. Garcia and those three guys, we've already seen what those other guys
right.
can do. So I don't think anybody's really thinking Zagunas is going to come up and create, you know, set the world on fire.
Hey, we didn't know what David Bodie was going to be.
Exactly.
And all of a sudden he came up and won some games for the Cubs. Why not give somebody at least a brief cup of coffee?
Yeah.
Check it out. See if you can find a little spark in him.
Yeah. And, you know, I think with Ben Zobrist's future in doubt, we don't know exactly when he's going to come back, if he's going to come back. But I mean, I imagine that many people, I thought for sure Ian Happ would be up by this time, or he'd be ready, or knocking on the door, or something. You thought that he would go down, make the adjustments, and maybe by, you know, halfway through May or midway through June, something like that, you think he'd be back up. But no, I mean, since the end of May, he's hitting 190.
Right.
He's still striking out more than 30% of the time. And his OPS, I mean, he's one of their least productive hitters, if not their least productive hitter in the lineup in Iowa right now. So, and has been for the last month. So he's not anywhere close to making the adjustments and coming back up right now.
When we were out in Iowa, he had 78 strikeouts already.
Yeah.
And that's against AAA pitching. So my question about Ian Happ is, if he's not moved or included in some deal, do you think he would be a September call-up, or do you think the Cubs would say it's best for his development to just leave him there, end his season when it's done?
That's a good question. You know, I think the rest of July, obviously August as well, would have a big factor in that. It's still possible. I mean, he has the skill level so high and the talent's there that he could easily turn things around. And if he starts really scorching the ball for 2 weeks, that might be enough to tell the
right.
Cubs or another organization all they need to know, that something's finally clicked. And I know your conversation with Marty Peavy, it's talking about when the light comes on with Ian Happ, it's going to really come on. So it's possible. I do think that Happ would have some value in September, at least this year, as we know that it's still going to be a 40-man roster. At the very least, he'd come up and be a pinch runner, you know, switch hitting bat, can play all over. So I would be stunned if he's not on the roster in September. But if he continues to struggle for 2 months, why push it if you're the Cubs?
Yeah, it's a strange situation. I think everybody thought he was going to be down there for a short amount of time. You think of Schwarber's stint there last year. He went down there, did his things, came up, and there was the improvement. Happ's been a bit of a roller coaster ride, like you say. And the strange part is he has proven he can do it. You know,
yeah.
He's shown you the numbers that he can put up at the major league level, not just for one season, but multiple seasons. So that's going to be tricky. I'll be curious to see, A, what interest he has from other teams around the league as we get close to the trade deadline, and B, if he can start playing better as the Cubs get closer to the end of the season.
Yeah, and, you know, they could really use him right now. Like,
big time.
Everything they're going through, the big league level, it would look a lot different if Ian Happ was up and able to perform the way that he's capable of. And I know that's a pretty big if. He didn't really do that for large parts of 2018 even. But, you know, when he came up in 17, he did change the lineup. He would offer you a lot more options, you know, guys like Descalzo or Russell or Almora, anybody who's struggling wouldn't necessarily have to play as much. So, yeah, he could be a very big factor moving forward, or maybe it's just more of the same.
And the one other thing is people say, well, he hit home runs.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that everybody's hitting home runs.
Yes.
So maybe that devalues a little bit, you know, I don't know if he would, if he hit 24 a couple years ago, does that mean he would have hit 40 this season? I don't know. Something's going on with the baseball, and home runs are, they're literally everywhere at the major league level right now.
Yeah, and, you know, to underscore that point, Almora's on pace for as many homers as Ian Happ had last year.
Right.
So, I mean, if you're talking about, like, home runs, and I get that even with that, Happ brought a little bit more walks and on-base percentage than Almora does, but the power is basically there regardless whether Happ's up or not because everybody's hitting homers. So I agree with you. I mean, you know, right now Happ just has too much swing and miss in his game, particularly from the left side, to be much of an impact up here.
It'll be interesting to see how the young guys impact or don't impact this Cubs team in 2019 moving forward, whether it's Alzolay, whether it's Maples, whether it's Happ coming back again, Holtzen. We don't know, but somebody's going to have to make a major impact on this team, I think, for the Cubs to really get a boost from where they need it, which is from within the organization.
Yeah, definitely. And there is still – there's no August waiver deal anymore, so there's no Daniel Murphy walking through the door with 6 weeks left in the season like we saw last year. So I agree. I mean, a lot of the answers will come from within. That's something we've heard Jed and Theo say, you know, for the past couple of years. We've heard them say that even this year. But I believe it again. I mean, there are a lot of options, whether it's Garcia, as we talked about, a guy like Dakota Meckes, who was a very popular name a year ago at this time, and kind of got off to a rough start. But over the last month, he's been very good down in Iowa as well. So there are some options down there. I don't know if they're all going to get a chance. It gets tougher and tougher as the Cubs are unable to separate in the NL Central. Then you don't want to necessarily throw those guys in high leverage spots. But, yeah, we'll see. I mean, you know, Maples is a guy you brought up. Like, what if he finally puts it all together? It's something Cubs fans have been dreaming about for 3 years, but it's still possible. Like, what if?
Well, it's going to be an interesting rest of the summer, that's for sure. And that's it for this edition of the Cubs Talk Podcast presented by Wintrust Community Bank. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast wherever you go. That way you automatically are loaded up each time we put one out. You don't have to do anything. You won't miss anything. It'll be there right away. I'm Luke Stuckmeyer for Tony Andracki. Thanks for listening. Until next time, everybody in and fly the W.